We're dealing here with a very important warning that no one should take lightly for one's spiritual well-being as a believer in Jesus Christ. And that has to do with the false teachers that had not come to Rome, but they're always out there. It's just a matter of time before someone tries to attack your belief system. And so, again, Paul is not like with the other churches dealing with the fact that these types have infiltrated or are coming up against otherwise healthy believers. They just can't leave well enough alone until they can drag someone down into their own mess. That's the nature of the STA. So, in regard to these verses here in Romans 16 with 17, rereading them quickly here. Now I urge you, brethren, to keep your eye on, keep your attention on, those who cause dissensions and hindrances, contrary to the teaching, the doctrine, which you have learned, and turn away from them. So apparently, doctrine is important. Formulated properly and communicated properly, yes, it does matter what you believe. That's crazy. Anybody gets off on that, then what can you do? Now, he says, in a description of these types, this is a general description that says, for such men are slaves, not of our Lord Christ, but their own appetites, and by smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. All right, in that regard, we were point 16. Point 16 on page 10 of your notes. These proponents of false doctrine are slaves. You're a slave to something. I like to think that we're slaves to righteousness, doing it God's way, figuring out what it is and lining up with that. That's the kind of slavery you want. Not enslavement to the doctrine of demons, false doctrine, and all that's running amok in the devil's world. So, these proponents of false doctrine are slaves of their own appetites, indicating they are run by their STAs, old sin natures, which we have a completely separate doctrine explaining this aspect of the makeup of human beings possessing this genetically. Why do people do the awful things they do? It's because they have sin natures. And the sin nature, you couldn't help it. You're born with one. You come into the world with one. And you come into the world with that other negative genetic flaw, if you want to call it that, and that is an aging gene. This all is a result, by one man, sin is brought into the world. And by sin, it's not referring to the individual manifestations, it's referring to the sin nature. Sometimes sin in the singular, we have synonyms for the sin nature, flesh, old self, old man, and so forth. They are slaves of their own appetites. External appearances otherwise, they are not slaves of our Lord Christ. They may talk about him and say nice things about him. A lot of people mention the name Jesus Christ, you know, in a religious context. But that doesn't mean anything. You got to get behind, and what do you believe about him, who he is, details, because otherwise you're misrepresenting his person, using his name, running around jumping up and down like these people do, don't have enough doctrine to come in out of your weather. I mean, it's just amazing. But they don't want it. Their God is their emotions. Stimulate my emotions. I can tell you, I see people that are slaves of all kinds of things. I was watching, I wasn't watching. I walked by a TV. No, what was it? It was on my computer. Yeah. It showed a picture of a sports event. It was a college basketball out east, one of the schools. And it showed these people celebrating. It's like they were maniacs. One guy pulls down his deal and he has the colors of his team on his front teeth. He was an older guy too. And an older woman is just going berserk. I'm thinking, you people have lost your minds. You have absolutely divorced from any reality that is important. But this is a land filled with idols. What's an idol? It's something you put before God. It doesn't have to be, you know, Mary on your dashboard. It's anything that you put above God's plan. The command to keep yourself, it could be pursuing wealth, pursuing Funsville, any of it. That becomes the obsession of the individual. Getting rich, getting ahead, prospering. You know, we got these scriptures. Pursue first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. And all this other stuff will be added to you. You just go about your business and you get with the thing that's lasting. And what all this out here isn't lasting. Yesterday's heroes are largely forgotten about. You know, all the big stars and all the big celebrities and all the rah, 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 rah. I feel, you know, this is so empty. That's why we called them back in the day teenage idols. You know, when they're out there screaming in front of Elvis Presley. These young girls, now they're old women or dead. I see these old black and white pictures. They're just going fanatic. It's like a drug. That's it. You're high right now. Ooh. But then you're going to come down from it. See? I want in addition to what I already got. I'm looking forward to the resurrection body. It's going to match the one Jesus Christ has. Not the deity part, just the humanity part. The dynamic of the humanity part. And if you want to get an idea of the dynamic, go study the post that's after, resurrection appearances of Christ on down to his final ascension. What he could do in that resurrection body. You'll be able to do it in your resurrection body. The disciples are all cowering in an upper room because they stumbled because they wouldn't listen. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to blah, blah, blah. And on the third day, I'm going to be raised. Now, is there something you don't understand about that? And this is the same one that did all these miracles in front of them and everything, whom they truly believed was the Messiah, correctly, for which they were saved. But when push came to shove and the test came down, they all ran into hiding. The authorities didn't want them yet. They wanted to take Jesus down. And if they take Jesus down, then we win the game. But they didn't take him down. They had their little moment and it all went away. Because God is in control of things, not people. Remember that. Here's the thing you know. He has a directive will for everybody. No exceptions. Then he has a permissive will. He lets people run amok. And they're really running amok today. And then he has the overruling will. He shuts it down. There's a verse in a psalm. Whole nations have perished at his hand. And there's a bunch of them that are begging for it today. Because it's called the day of his wrath. We're going to get everybody's attention. In a way they can't even. They're not going to be talking about who won the game. They're going to be, where do we need to go? And get, boom, boom. Because this rapture event's going to occur. And whatever you're doing. Whatever, good, bad, or indifferent. You're going to be transformed into a resurrection body. And you're going to be 35 years old. Whether you're 12 or 90. Right in front of people. That's the cool thing. It's not done in a corner. It's right in front of everybody. Stand in the line at Walmart. and you get transformed. And the unbelievers around you, they'll look at you. And all your clothes will hit the ground. You won't be naked. You'll be dressed. And every button will be buttoned. Your shoes will be tied. And you'll come up out of that clothing and not even damage it. Let them deal with this. And your knee replacement will probably fall on the ground. God's final thing. Because here's the reason I say that. Our resurrection is patterned after Jesus. He's laid in this rich man's tomb on this stone cut out. I mean, this was all carved out, cut out, and he was wrapped up in these wrappings. They had to hastily do it because the women were coming back the next morning to finish up because they had to follow the Jewish custom of the Sabbath and couldn't be worked. So they had to get him in there late enough before 6 p.m. Friday. They got him in there. So when they came back to the tomb and it was empty, where were the grave clothes? They were laying there like nothing had ever touched them. They weren't wadded up and thrown over in a corner or disappeared. So whatever you have, you're going to leave behind. That's not a part of your natural body. And you'll have a resurrection body like Christ. So when the disciples were in the upper room, they're up there all, you know, boom, he appears in their midst. And they're freaked out. They think he's a ghost, a phantom or something. He says, no, I'm not. Come and touch me. Make physical contact. Do I feel like a real human? He's the only one that'll retain scars in his body. He'll have this scar down here where the Roman soldier ran the spear up there. Served a purpose. They want to know if he's dead. And he was dead. Because you know what came out? Blood and serum. Translated water in the Bible. What happens to a person when they die? Their blood separates. Perfectly medically correct. And those relate to his... He's going to retain that in his resurrection body. It's not disfiguring. It's not... But you won't have a scar. You won't have a nick. You won't have anything. You will be 35 years old forever. And then we will appear before Christ up there high, not too high, but high enough, and we'll appear before a judgment seat to see what our reward package is. And every time you're in fellowship and you make an application, you don't feel good. You're suffering some infirmity and you're in fellowship. Just growing old gets you SG3 if you're in fellowship. So I'm well down that path. Though our outer man is decaying, our inner man is being renewed. And we are laying up in heaven an eternal weight. That's something that's heavy. Weight of glory. So all your divine good production, in fellowship production, get you SG3. You go to work tomorrow, you do your job as under the Lord, you get in fellowship, keep rebounding, keep doing it, you get reward. Somebody mistreats you, you get reward. If you're in fellowship. We have it in sports. You can't score in a field if you're out of bounds. That's why they have these people to watch this, so that everyone follows these rules. And even if you made a great shot, guess what? You're off on the line. Or you double dribbled, or whatever it was. And so without the rules, it's the plan of God. It has rules. So you can get in fellowship anytime you want to and apply Bible doctrine. But these types, they're not slaves of Christ. They're slaves of their own passions, their own desires. 18, that is because they do not advocate sound doctrine, such as we have in this letter. It takes a lot of work to extract the information and compare Scripture with Scripture so that you don't put the Bible in a mass contradiction. How do you know you've got the truth, Jack? I just do. You know why? God honors those that honestly ask Him for the truth and to get them where I need to be. And as I was floundering around as a young fellow in a Baptist denomination, I was fed up. They're not teaching me this. No, I'm not running back to the Sunday school and another non-expert going to teach adults. I'm talking about adults, not children. We take care of our children. If we only got one in there, we'll teach them. We've been faithful to do that. So anyway, but as far as I just started praying. This doesn't seem to be cutting it, and it sure wasn't. And when I heard sound doctrine for the first time addressing these issues, I just went, bam, that's it. That's the Holy Grail. That's what I've been looking for. God has a time and He has a place. And I heard the doctrine of rebound, and I went, are you kidding me? I sat in church all this time and no one taught me this? Jack, you're going to sin. We don't want you to, but you're going to. We all do. And so when you do, what do? When you get your hands dirty, you go to the sink, you get you some soap, you wash them, and you dry them, and you walk off. But you expect that down the road you're going to get them dirty again, numerous times during a given day. That's why you practice hygiene. And washing an extremity, but in the ancient world, they wore the kind of footwear they had is that you had to, when you came to somebody's house, they had a basin for you where you could rinse your feet because the roads were dusty and they had these open sandals. And so that's why Jesus washed the disciples' feet to illustrate the rebound adjustment to God. You guys need to rebound. Jesus never had to rebound because He never sinned. If He had sinned one time, He would have been disqualified. That's as rigid as you can get. And so God has given Him a name above every name. His Son, Jesus Christ. And we as believers are all related to Him because we're all in union with Christ. And that means we share everything He shares. He's royalty. Did you know that? Of course you did. He's royalty from two angles. His genetics go back to David. And God promised David that a descendant of his would sit on his throne and rule forever. No house of royalty has ever been promised that. Two, He's God, so God is king. He's royalty. You're in union with Jesus Christ, so you are royal family. Of all the children of God in the previous dispensations, this one, every believer, is royal family of God. You're royalty. To every person, that doesn't mean much. Royalty doesn't always have to be sitting in a palace with all the goodies around them. There's been royalty that's been in exile. They're still royalty. We're royalty. And that means that we're in a stepped up dispensation. Not because we're so much better. No. We just happen to be in the right place at the right time, so to speak. We're royalty. Royal family of God. Anyway, a common modus operandi, that's Latin for method of operation. A common modus operandi of false teachers is how they approach their targets, their victims. 20, they come on to their would-be victims with smooth and flattering speech. See, that's the game. Disarm them. Oh, that's a nice person. Oh, they're real nice. Yeah, In other words, this type of psychology is to make their victim feel good and important. In other words, taking the nice, friendly approach rather than the direct, here it is, no nonsense. Here's the plan of God. People, take it or leave it. And that's what Paul had to explain. Because you see, these Gentiles that Paul went to, they had these traveling philosophers and, positive thinking gurus. I don't know if they had one like that. But, you know, these guys come on, come to our meeting, give us $70 a head, and we'll teach you how to get rich. That's what we're all about, isn't it? Just to get rich. 1 Thessalonians 2:3. In his letter, he says, "For our exhortation does not come from error or impurity or by way of deceit." We're up front and we're straightforward. Here it is. "But just as we have been approved of God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak. Not as pleasing men." We're not here to please you. I'm here to teach you the truth. If it pleases you, great. "Not pleasing men." Men pleasers. "But God, who examines our hearts. For we never came with flattering speech." See, that's the typical feel-good, new age, whatever you want to call it, guru. And you see it in religious leaders too. They're all smiles and meek and the different types, these different types. No fakery. It's just straightforward. If you find yourself in a difficult situation and need to be extracted from it, then you're going to listen to the person who knows what they're talking about. You're not going to say, "Well, he didn't say that nice to me." What's nice? This is a nice way. That's what set Jesus apart from all the rabbis of his day. And the people noticed it. The general population noticed it. He is one who speaks as having authority. Not like the scribes and the Pharisees. So this authority is delegated to communicators through the ages. And we did not come with flattering speech, as you know. Because they're looking real close. They, apart from the content, they're seeing this is a different approach. He's not being mean. He's just, here it is. Here's the plan of God. You're in paganism. You're on a path that's going to lead to eternal condemnation. And here's the truth. "We never came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is witness. We weren't here to get money out of your pockets." In fact, Paul's early, when he was dealing with a new, fresh group, he didn't ask for any money. He worked with his own hands out there and then came in and taught them. Had two jobs. Making tents and teaching doctrine. Now, once they got established and got down the road, if they wanted to send money off to Paul to help him out there, it would have been a good thing to do. That's fine. We're not in this for greed. God is witness. "Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others. Even though as apostles, we might have asserted our authority." We might have made a big deal about the fact that I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ and blah, 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 blah. Well, I am an apostle. I am. But I'm not going to be waving that over in front of you. I'm just up here to communicate Bible doctrine to you. You do with it what you're going to do with it. I have no control over that. I'm not a cult leader. I don't hypnotize people. I don't give them any Kool-Aid. I give them the truth. And if they don't like it, okay. I'm sad for you, you know, but I can't dwell on that. Like the prophets of old, they didn't always get a big response from everybody. There were exceptions. They were rejected, they were ignored, and they were attacked physically. Just because they're calling the people back to God. And they didn't want to hear that. All righty. Flattery. You can look up scriptures dealing with this. They are in contrast to the take it or leave it approach, wherein the adjusted pastor teacher speaks with authority, lays it on the line, and you go out and do with it what you will. Ignore it, ridicule it, whatever. Or say, wow, that's what I've been looking for. If you haven't been looking for it, then you're not going to say that. Fundamentalism thinks we can convert anything. No, you can't. People have volition. All you can do is tell people what the plan of God is, and here's what you need to do to become active and on board with it. I am relieved that I don't have to play any psychological games with anybody. It's like giving someone directions. Here's the directions to get out of here and get where you need to be. It's the straightforward approach. These types will flatter you, and we know what the Word of God has to say about the sin of flattery. I looked up some verses. I'm very thankful, back in the day when I had to look these up in a book. Okay, it's doable. Get your concordance out, find the Greek or Hebrew or English, and find verses. Turn pages. Now, you know what I can do? I can mark it, right-click, how many times it occurs, and it pops up every verse. Whether it's a phrase, a single word, whatever. And then, if I want to put it in my document, I just cut and paste. Boom, boom. It's like I've said to someone, it's the difference between digging a great big hole with a shovel and having a piece of power equipment. All that donkey work's gone. I'm so grateful for that. It came in at the right time. There's a positive there on technology. And I've had that, and I have this program called Bible Works. I've archived it around here with a number of people because if anything happens, they don't sell it anymore. They had a new version and I didn't like it. It was too... Keep it simple, stupid. It's called Operation KISS. Keep it simple, stupid. That's our life. Keep your life uncomplicated. Get stuff out of it. I haven't always done that, but that's what you're supposed to do. All right. Weather permitting and other factors, we will see you Tuesday night. Same time. Well, not same time, but same place. Don't come at the same time, please. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.